just want to make a statement before we get into what the scripture we're going to be looking at this morning. But an encounter with Jesus will fill you with anticipation and give you expectations beyond your wildest dreams. So a real encounter with Christ gives you anticipation and expectation beyond your wildest dreams. And so we're starting a new series today, and it's going to be called Building a Fire from Flicker to Flame. And today I want to focus on turning up the heat. And the image that I have in my mind when I was thinking about this series and where we're going to be headed over the next several weeks is I get this image of a campfire. And, you know, and I don't know how many times you've sat around a campfire, but I love sitting around a fire at night. I love camping. I just like being out in the woods, and especially out in the woods at night, sitting around a fire. And I remember one time sitting, looking at a campfire and realizing that the fire was going out and like it was just turning into embers or whatever, and like kind of being sad because I could watch a fire for hours. Like I just, there's something about it that just draws you in. And the more, when we realized it was going out, we put a bunch of logs on the fire and then it got raging hot. And the more logs we put on the fire, the hotter it got. And I've been on the beach even and had more space and threw tires on the fire. I don't know if you've ever had a tire fire. But that's pretty cool, especially, I don't know, maybe it's an East Coast thing or if they do it here or not. But a tire fire, you can get this raging fire to the point where the fire is like white hot. And I love it when it gets to that point. One time I was out with some, I was leading a group of teens on this leadership week, and I just thought, man, we should jump through the fire. And so we did. We had this like crazy fire and we ran and we like jumped through it before it was too raging hot. And I don't know if it was the greatest idea or not, but I just love, like, there's something about fire that, like, for me, literally draws me in. Like, I wanted to jump right through it. And this image that I get when I'm thinking about this series and where we're headed is that inside of each one of us, God has put a flicker. So, and I want to talk a lot this morning about anticipation. All of us that are in this room, at some point in our lives, have anticipated something. Or you've got expectations for something. And 100% of us, guaranteed, 100% of us have been let down with some of those expectations. Some of us have had anticipation and expectation for things in our life, whether it was a relationship or a new job or a new move or something. And in thinking about it, there's like excitement, there's anticipation. But then when you actually get into the middle of it, there's like this letdown that comes. Right? And so, and I just want you to just think about that for a second, because the whole focus of the series is I really want us to think about what does it look like to turn up the heat in our relationship with God. And coming to church, if it makes us, if we come to church and get this idea that, you know, this is kind of all there is in our relationship with God and the pursuit of God, we've completely missed it. Like, God has a desire for so much more. And one of the things that I've been sensing lately, as far as it relates to Thunder Bay, is that God has some really big desires for this city. And I've had this, and I love reading about it. I love reading about places where God has moved in power and where, like, revival has broke out to the point where, like, cities have literally felt the presence of God. And these things have happened. You can study it, and it's really incredible. And I just, like, I'm not content until I see that. I know that there's so much more that God has for us, not just as individuals, but as his people. And to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to head in that direction, is to follow him. And so if we've really encountered Christ, our anticipation is stirred up. Our expectation is stirred up even more. And rather than let the fire fizzle out, rather than, like, you know, push the logs to the side and let things kind of die out, what we really need to do as followers of Christ is stoke the fire, is put more wood on the fire and let this thing get raging, blazing hot. But I do want to talk for a minute, because I think we can all relate with this. And I think probably the reason we resist that is because we've had expectations that have been let down. So, and I want you to think in your life about times where you've anticipated something and it didn't turn out the way that you were hoping that it would. I'm an optimist. I love anticipating things and I get really excited. And I think it was about probably 8 years into our marriage, Vicky and I, we'd had a few kids by this time, and my dad, and he's like this, like, money-saving kind of a guy, and he had these coupons for this hotel that was just outside of the city of Moncton, and he was all excited about it because it was going to be this good deal, and so he gave me coupons, which meant I could afford for our anniversary to go to this hotel. It was just outside of the city, and it was this like beautiful spot or whatever, or it seemed that way. And so anyways, I was all excited, and Vicky and I were both excited, because when you have a bunch of kids, going away on a trip is really nice. And all you think about, when you're going to go on a trip like that, all you think about is how awesome it's going to be, right? Like, are you with me with that, or am I the only one that's optimistic? I'm like thinking about the great time, the great food, it's just going to be us or whatever. And anyway, so we finally, you know, we had a babysitter for the kids, and we get to this place, and the place was called the Chocolate River Motel, which probably for most people, that would have been a warning sign right off the bat. But I'm a little bit too optimistic to be, like, warned by things like that. So anyways, we get to this place, and literally we walk in the door, and Vicky started crying, because it was really janky, the hotel. And then I was like, oh, maybe it'll be better or whatever. We'll go to the restaurant. We went to the restaurant. We were the only ones there. And it looked like the last one that was there was like the Apostle Paul. Like it was like the oldest place, right? And it was this like really old place and it didn't smell great. And so like my anticipation of what that weekend was going to be was like up here. And then the experience of it was down here, right? And I think all of us have encountered that in some point in our life. And we got through it. Now we're working on our 14 years of marriage and still anticipating awesome things. And but I think that experiences like that can sometimes make us a bit jaded. When you've expected something and expected that it was going to turn out to be really good or awesome, and it didn't turn out, it didn't meet up to your expectations, it's easy to get cynical. It's easy to feel a bit jaded. And as it relates to God, I want to really reinforce this. An encounter with Jesus will stir your anticipation and your excitement. That what you and I have to experience in him is better than our wildest dreams. And there's a scripture, we're going to get to the scripture in a minute, that I want to show you. Jesus doesn't, and a lot of times people in our life, they kind of talk us down, you know, and try to help us get through the disappointment. You know, like it's, everybody experiences that, you know, just kind of give in to the ordinary. But we're going to look at a passage in a minute where Jesus, when he encounters people, he actually stirs that up. He's like, he's like, no, don't settle. Things could be better than your wildest imagination can behold. And so I want to encourage you, as we head into this series, like I want to focus in on turning up the heat, because the best is yet to come in Christ. It's not Transformation Church. It's not this specific group. It's in Christ. Like the desire that God has for us as his followers is incredible. And I hope you don't give in to just like, oh, I guess things are just the way that they are. Because there's a tendency for us to do that. And so as we think about it, and there's a slide up, usually the anticipation of something is almost always better than the thing itself. And so and I don't know why that is, right? But I don't know, maybe you can relate with that. And just think through your life, right? Think through maybe your career path or your relationships or your expectation of what things were going to be like when you got to a certain, you know, bracket of making a certain amount of money. The expectation of something is usually better than the actual thing itself. And so I have this really funny video clip I just want to show, because there's a perspective in the world that things aren't really as good as it seems, and we just have to accept that. Right, and so my kids actually watch this YouTube family. They're called the EB family, and they're just this silly family. But in this little video clip, it's only a minute long, it shows the expectations of marriage and then the reality of it. And it's just silly, and I just want you to see it, and because it just kind of gives perspectives for what we're talking about.
Wow, this pizza is really good.
Wow,
Do you ever stop talking?
Yeah, y'all. Yeah, y'all.
So, I debated whether to show that, and I was like, but it's so funny because there's some truth to a lot of our experiences. And a lot of us, when we anticipate something, there's this expectation of what it will be like, and the reality of it lets us down. And what I really want us to see this morning is that when our expectations are placed in the right direction and ultimately on the right person, which is Christ, our wildest dreams can't imagine how awesome things are as far as what his plan is. Not just for us personally, but even corporately, even for the city of Thunder Bay. And this whole theme of things are just bad and we have to accept it, it's just something that in our culture is accepted. And what I want to challenge you with this morning, don't buy into the lie that things are just kind of drab, that you just have to kind of get through life and push through and it's really not that great. Even another example, Vicky was reading a story to our kids, and it's this popular book called The Land of Stories. And so this guy wrote it's like a 6-series book. And basically in the book, he picks up all of the fairy tale stories where they left off. And so when you think through the Disney stories and the fairy tale stories, it all ended with like a happily ever after idea, right? And in this book, The Land of Stories, this guy picks up the stories and he talks about Little Red Riding Hood and Goldilocks and Jack and the Beanstalk. And when he picks up the story, Little Red Riding Hood is this selfish person who's leading a kingdom, doing an okay job, but she's kind of selfish, and she's madly in love with Jack and the Beanstalk. And Goldilocks, this is Goldilocks and the Three Bears, she is this thief, and she travels from kingdom to kingdom and steals all this stuff, and she's also in love with Jack and the Beanstalk. And Jack and the Beanstalk breaks Little Red Riding Hood's heart and goes for Goldilocks. And you pick up this story, and it was weird for me reading this with Vicky and the kids, because I was like, I mean, when I was a kid, all of these stories just left off with this happily ever after ending. And he picks it up, and you see that things aren't the way that you expected them to be. And it's almost like he's picking up this theme that are tempted to believe and buy into as a culture, that things really aren't that good. Your expectations aren't going to be met. You're going to be disappointed, and you just have to accept it. And Jesus doesn't want for us to accept it. And so we're going to go to John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 43 through 51. And in this, and I just want you to catch, so this is in the first part of Jesus' ministry in the book of John. And so in this part of Jesus' ministry, he's calling together his disciples. He's calling together the people that are going to follow him. And you got to see the way that Jesus interacts with people is so different than how you and I are used to interacting with truth. And so different even, and I want to talk today a little bit about the problem of church, because in church, sometimes there is a problem. Because I think a lot of times we just think we just have to accept things the way they are and it's not going to be that great. But Jesus, and you're going to see here in how he talks to people, he's like, no, you've got to lean into faith. You know, those expectations, that anticipation that you had was put there by God. When you put it in the things of this world, you will be let down. You will be disappointed. But if you put that expectation and anticipation into Christ, you will never be let down. Actually, your wildest dreams will be blown up, because you'll be like, man, it is so much better. And so I'm going to, John chapter 1, verse 43, and I'm just going to pray that God speaks to us as we read his word. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. And God, I pray that as we read this, we would hear your voice, not just an opinion or a perspective, but Lord, that we would hear what you have to say to us, specifically as it relates to 2019 in Thunder Bay in our lives. We love you, Lord, and we long to hear you and be led by you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And so in the Gospels, you have this picture of Jesus, and he just walks through the crowds and talks to people, and he's like, follow me. And people just leave everything, and they go, and they follow him, right? And so this is what he's doing. He's walking around, he's gathering his followers, the people that are going to be his disciples. Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. And this is one of my favorite themes in Scripture. When the people in the early days of Jesus' ministry were calling people to come and see Jesus, and people had pushback, and they're like, no, this can't really be as good as you're saying. This can't really be the Messiah. This can't. They didn't get into these huge intellectual arguments. They were just like, you got to come and see. Like, you got to come and see this Jesus and see what's going on. See for yourself, and you'll experience it. So come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. We're going to talk about this in a minute. But what Jesus says here to Nathanael is really profound, because this guy Nathanael's never met Jesus before, and he comes walking up to Jesus because he was invited by someone else. And Jesus looks at him and recognizes him and said, you know, there's no deceit in this man. And then he speaks to Philip or to Nathanael and says, I saw you while you're sitting under the fig tree. And Nathanael's like blown away by that, right? And so we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want you just to think about it. Like, why would it matter that Jesus said, you know, I saw you while you were under the fig tree, right? It'd be like if I said to you, I saw you while you're at the Max getting your coffee, right? And you'd be like, right? And so there's something really significant as to why Jesus says this. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So he comes to this realization, you're the Son of God, right? You're the King. You're the one that all of the prophets have wrote about. And Jesus, he's the reason we're here today. The reason we gather as a group of people to worship is because Jesus rose from the dead. He's the King. He's the one that we worship and love and long for. But it's really interesting because Nathanael comes to this revelation, realizing who Jesus is. And listen to what Jesus says. He doesn't say, that's great, now go to church, make sure you pay some tithes and get involved and volunteer and just, you know, stick it out, and it's going to be a little bit drab, but keep it up. Like, Jesus doesn't say that to him. He says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. So he's speaking into Nathanael's anticipation. He's saying to him, like, you think it's great that I gave you this prophetic word or this word of knowledge, like I knew something about you before I ever met you? You think that's amazing? He said, you're going to see greater things than that. And in verse 51, it says, he then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So instead of Jesus just telling Nathanael, okay, you got it. You know, you believe that I'm the Lord. Just calm down. Go to church. You know, do your duty and kind of get through. He says, there is so much more. Like, you think it's incredible that you've realized that I'm the Son of God, like, there is so much more. You're gonna see heaven opened up. You're gonna see God reveal himself in power. And so he's speaking into expectation and anticipation. And I think a lot of the times that in church, and there is a problem with church in sometimes the way that we look at it. Because a lot of times we consider our church experience to kind of be the be-all, end-all. You know, and I talk to people all the time that don't believe in Jesus or follow Jesus, and they can't always figure out why I've committed my life to following him. And I'll tell you with honesty and integrity that the reason I've committed my life to following him and pursuing him with my whole heart isn't because the Sunday morning gatherings are what, you know, gets me pumped and excited. Like, I love it because I believe that there's strength in us gathering, but I just have hope that what Jesus says is actually true. And I've had my expectations and anticipation let down whenever I've put those on the things that are in this world over and over again. But when I see the words of Christ and when I experience him in my life and heart leading me, I know that his words are true. And I have anticipation and expectation for what God is going to do. And I want to encourage you this morning to lean into that. That all of us have this flicker, right? All of us have a little bit of it. God put anticipation in your heart. God put expectation in you. There's something in you that wants to believe that there is a happily ever after, that there is this great thing that is to come. There's something that's in you that, like, wants to believe in that, like a child that believes in Santa coming every year, like a child that, you know, has this hope for things to come. All of us have this, and it's a flicker that God has put inside of us to point us to him. But the warning in this is, if you put that hope, that anticipation and expectation into anything else, you will be let down. If you have this hope and you're putting it into, like, one day having the best family or the best job or enough money to do all the things that you want, I guarantee you that you will be let down. And when cultures fall apart, when wars happen and economies fail and all these things, people don't have anything left to stand on because their hope is in something else other than in Christ. But that flicker that's inside of each one of us is supposed to lead us to God. And one of the struggles too, and I've thought about this as a pastor of a church, like we want to see the church grow. And that's one of the struggles. And we can have, as pastors, wrong motives in wanting the church to grow. And honestly, before I was a pastor and I would go and listen to people that were preaching and trying to grow a church, sometimes I'd wonder, like, do they just want more people so there's more money? Or do they want more popularity? And when God called me to be a pastor, I had to ask some of these questions honestly. Like, Lord, why do I want to see the church grow? And I do. I have this vision that someday we'll have the balcony open and we'll have to think about, like, oh, what's happening? Like, there's so many people coming that we either have to shift and get a new building or expand this one or have a couple services. I have this desire to see God do incredible things. And I constantly have to go back, like, Lord, is there a wrong motive in me? Because the only motive for having that kind of a desire is that people would come to know Jesus. And sometimes churches, there's a tendency to try to hold on to people and say, like, no, you got to stay here. You know, don't leave, don't go somewhere else. And the more, like, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize, like, if we start to grow as a church, if we're really actually making disciples, if you that are coming are passionately falling in love with Jesus, some of you are going to leave because God might call you to go somewhere and start something somewhere else. Or, who knows, and if you really fall in love with Jesus, you just do things because you love him and your obedience is to him. So say some, you know, things are happening in Thunder Bay and a new church starts up and they need someone to come help lead worship or they need someone to come help serve, that God may put it on your heart to go and be a part of his work in other places. Or he may call you to go to some foreign country or something. And as I was thinking about, like, what does it look like for us to just get on fire for Jesus? It means that our allegiance is to him, that we gather with each other because of this mutual love for him. We want to hear from God. We want to be in his presence. We want to worship him. We want to lift up his name. But our allegiance is to him, and we're passionate about him because we expect that he's going to do something incredible. And in that expectation, sometimes he'll ask you to be a part of that in ways that you're like, I could never do that. You know, and a lot of times, the things that God's asked me to do, I've thought, there's just no way. Like, I don't have the abilities to do that. There's people that are way better qualified. But if you actually have this, if you lean into what we're talking about and your expectation is in Jesus and you're putting, you know, wood on the fire, then when God calls, you're like, yes, because I expect that he can do great things beyond my wildest dreams and imaginations. And honestly, like, I really believe that God has a desire for the city of Thunder Bay. And as a community, as a church, I don't believe that we should settle in just like, oh, we just want to grow numerically here and get to the point where, you know, the church is sustaining itself. Like, there's some major things going on in the city of Thunder Bay. And we talk about it a lot here. But there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of drug addiction. And even amongst people that aren't committing crimes and are addicted to drugs, even amongst the affluent and wealthy, there's people that are lonely and hopeless, and their expectations haven't been met. And God wants to move in this city in powerful ways. And as we, as the people of God, come together and just believe that with all of our hearts and lean into his truth, I believe we'll see God do some incredible things. Like, we'll see God do amazing things here in this city, in our context, in Thunder Bay. And we shouldn't just sit back and go, oh, it's, you know, that's kind of like a pie in the sky dream, and I don't want to get my hopes up and not see something. If we get our hopes up in Jesus, then what he is saying and what he said to Nathaniel was like, even your wildest dreams can't imagine what is to come, right? And it's this incredible thing. And I want to read this quote to you. There's a guy, he wrote just after the Second World War. His name is A.W. Tozer. And so the language is a little bit dated, but the passion, I just was like, I got to read this because the passion in what he's saying is so powerful. And as I read this, this was kind of what inspired even this sermon series. I read this book by Tozer called The Pursuit of God. And he's talking about, like, leaning into this relationship with God that is just all-consuming, that is just lit up. And so listen to what he says here, and this is, again, just after the Second World War, but he's basically describing our situation today. He says, there is today no lack of Bible teachers to set forth correctly the principles of the doctrines of Christ, but too many of these seem satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith year after year, strangely unaware that there is, in their ministry, no manifest presence nor anything unusual in their personal lives. They minister constantly to believers who feel within their breasts a longing which their teaching simply does not satisfy. And so what he says, I just want to reiterate that part because I read it and I was like, oh, Lord, I want to experience even more. But he said, like, most people in their ministry aren't experiencing this tangible presence of God. But he says that the people listening, they're hearing truth, but there's this longing in their heart that isn't being satisfied. And if you're here this morning and you have a longing in your heart for more, lean into that longing. Don't settle. Don't push back and say, oh, it's pie in the sky, and my hopes are just going to be dashed anyway, so I'll just give up. If you have desire in your heart, if you have anticipation, expectation, lean into that. And maybe your expectation and anticipation has been wrongly placed. You know, maybe you have this dream of a perfect marriage or making a certain amount of money or living in a certain place. And I guarantee you, if you chase that thing in and of itself, your hope will be let down. Your expectations won't be met. We always have a tendency to imagine things as better than they are unless we let that expectation point us to Jesus. Because as we allow him to lead us, and as we allow him to be our guide, he will lead us into his plan, his purpose, his will, which is better than we could have ever imagined. You know, and for me, this is a really personal issue, because when I remember being younger and encountering the presence of God, like for the first time, where it was like, I knew that what was being said was true, I knew that the Bible was real, but there was a few times in my life where it was like I felt God's presence. There was this sense of like, he's real. Like, he really does have a plan. He really is inviting me into this relationship with him, and I could sense it. Like, I could feel this presence. And nothing else ever satisfied me. Honestly, like, and even in my marriage and with my family, I love being married. I love my wife and I love my kids. But I realized before I got married, before, I was like, those things, if I just start to chase those things and chase that, like, it's not going to fulfill this longing in my heart that was put there by God. And if you have this longing, and I'll tell you just by experience, I really believe the reason God has done what he's done, even in my marriage and with my kids, is because my first love, my first goal is him. And as I chase him and as I pursue him, he takes care of those other things. But I'll also tell you, and the reason this is so personal to me is because we're not there yet. Like, I believe there's more for the city of Thunder Bay. I believe there's more for us as we gather to experience in God. And as I read what Tozer said here, and he was talking about, you know, and people that go to these churches and year after year they're listening and they're agreeing with what's being said, but there's this longing in their heart that's still going unfulfilled. I want to encourage you, don't sit back and give in to this idea that, like, oh, it's just, I may as well just give up on the dream. I'm not going to experience the things that I'm longing for. If you've encountered disappointment and letdown, focus your expectation on Jesus. Stoke that fire. If you've got this, like, you know, this, there's a little bit of a fire, and if you're breathing, it means that there's a little bit of a fire. If you breathe oxygen, there's a flicker going on in your life, okay? And you still do have a little bit of expectation and anticipation. But don't build that up on something that's going to let you down. Like, build that anticipation, that expectation up on Christ and on following him wholeheartedly with every fiber of your being, because he won't let you down. And I want to ask you if you've ever been hungry before. I remember when I was in high school, we did this thing with my youth group called the 30-hour famine. And anybody ever done the 30-hour famine? It's where you go for 30 hours without food, and you're raising money for places where there isn't food. Well, I remember it was my first time doing the 30-hour famine, and I was really hungry. And we went to this amusement park, and I literally, this guy walked by me with nachos. Like, and it was like, we were probably like 25 hours or so into this famine, and this innocent guy, I didn't even know him. He walked by with nachos, and I could just smell them. It was fresh. And I was actually, like, mad at the guy. And I was like, I don't even know him, but I was just like, I just want those nachos so bad, right? And there was this hunger that was very real for me. It was like, I want those nachos. And in the same way, I want to encourage you to think about your hunger, this longing that's in your heart, as a spiritual hunger. And to fill up on things that are going to lead you towards Christ. You can chase after the things of this world, but they will let you down. They won't answer the longing of your heart. And a lot of times, and I want to focus just on this one area, one of the things that I believe we put a lot of expectation in is relationships. And in our world, there is an obsession with relationships. There's an obsession with finding the right partner, finding the right person that we're going to spend our lives with. And just like in that video you saw, like before marriage, like that was pretty real, if we're being honest, right? That's been a lot of people's experience where it's like, you just like imagining what marriage is going to be like, and it's this excitement, and then you get there, and it's like, this challenging thing sometimes to live through. And when all of your expectation is placed on a person, another person in your relationship with them, you're bound to be let down. But there's, what I want to say to you is that there is an obsession in our culture with relationships. Because all of us have this longing, all of us have this desire for something more, and we try to fill it with a relationship. And I want to read to you some song lyrics. Back in 2016, there was a really popular song called Holy, H-O-L-Y, which is an acronym for High on Loving You. It's by a band called Florida Georgia Line. They're a country band. And this song went number one on the country music charts. And I want you to listen. And the reason I wanted to read this is because in this is such a good example of what we're talking about. In this song, they use a lot of Christian lingo to talk about a relationship that they're in with another human being. So, and a lot of people were really offended by it. People are offended by a lot of things, though. But I just want to read these lyrics to you and just hear what's being said and recognize that in our culture, there is a tendency to have an obsession with a relationship, thinking that that's going to fulfill this inner longing. He says, you're holy, holy, holy. I'm high on loving you, high on loving you, which is where he gets the holy from. You're holy, 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 holy. I'm high on loving you, high on loving you. You're the healing hands where it used to hurt. You're my saving grace. You're my kind of church. You're holy. You catch those last lines? He's singing this to a girl, and he's saying, you're my saving grace. You're my kind of church. You're holy. Oh, and before that, he said, you're the healing hands where it used to hurt. All of these inner heart longings, when you put them on a human being, an individual, you will be let down. You will be angry. Sometimes you'll be enraged because no human being can fulfill the inner longing of your heart. It's impossible. People have tried over and over and over again. And this song is an example of basically the mood of our culture, that there's this inner longing, and people that have rejected God and given up on a desire for him try to fill it with, whether it's substances or a relationship or a career, most times it's a relationship. And you will be not just disappointed, but filled with just hopelessness and despair if that's where you're seeking to get this inner longing met with. And what I want to encourage you with today is that Jesus is saying that he can fulfill that inner longing in our hearts. And I believe with all of my heart and that as a follower of Christ, that if my hope and expectation and anticipation is put on him, that he is the one who's going to fulfill that. And he blesses relationships, he blesses our finances, he blesses our career. He's the one who fulfills that inner longing. So you could be the type of person that has nothing as far as the world is concerned, but you're totally at peace because you're filled up with him. And also, as a church, what it means is that we continue to pursue him with our whole lives, and he's the only one that can satisfy. And so in a second, the band's going to come up, and there's a new song we're going to do today. I think it's called Hungry. And anyway, you'll catch the words, but I asked specifically if we could do this song because it speaks into what we're talking about. And I want to, on the next slide, I just want you to think about this. I thought about doing, oh, it's the next one. Sorry, that was my fault. I thought about doing like a response where you could come up and fill something out or physically get up and respond. But I don't want to put any pressure. I want this to be something that's between you and God. But if today you are realizing that you've tried to fulfill this longing in your heart with something else, I want to challenge you to make a decision to pursue God and his will and his purpose for your life wholeheartedly. And there's got to be something real, like something physical, something tangible that you do in response to that. So if I'm, you know, obsessed with Vicky, but she doesn't even know my name, we're never going to get into a relationship with each other. If I don't go up and be like, hey, you're cute. We should go to the movies. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't make some kind of a step, like, it's not going to work. And it's similar. Any relationship works that way. If you want the relationship to be strong, to grow, to thrive, you've got to put time, focus, and energy into it. And it's the same with God. And so what I want to encourage you, as we're singing this song, and it might be something different than this, but I put four options up there, that to make a decision that, yes, today I'm going to start in the book of Luke, and for 73 days I'm going to read a chapter a day, Luke, John, and Acts. And just, and that will take you like 6 minutes to read that and prayerfully say, God, I just pray that you speak to me as I read your word. Or, and this is a big one, if you're sitting here today and you're recognizing that there's some things in your life that are not in line with God, maybe they're sinful things, I would encourage you to come and confess those sins to somebody that you know loves Jesus. But our sins, when we give in to things that are openly rebellious to God, it hinders our ability to connect with him. So whether that's sexual sin, or it's a sin of greed, or it's a sin of whatever, I would encourage, as painful and discomforting as it is, to confess those things and between you and God, and have somebody pray with you and just say, Lord, I'm going to turn away from those things and embrace you fully. Another one, carve out 10 minutes a day for prayer. And that might be really weird. You may be like, I don't even know how to pray. How do you spend 10 minutes a day in prayer? I would encourage you, make a decision to do it and say, I'm going to do this for 30 days and I'm going to stick with it. And talk to people that love to pray and ask them, you know, what that looks like. Or another one you could do is make a decision that sometime over the next couple months you're going to spend a day alone with God. That might be really weird to you, but like getting rid of media, getting rid of everything else that's kind of an influence from the world, and just saying, God, I'm going to go. I'm going to take a Bible. I'm going to take a journal, and I'm going to go alone somewhere and just spend some time with you. These are all things that if we want a relationship with another person to work, there's parallels for each of these in a relationship with a person. And if you want to encounter God in his fullness, I want to encourage you to take an actual, real step towards that and make a commitment. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand and worship and just listen to the words of this song. And if God's challenging you in one of these areas, I just want to encourage you to take a step towards that. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. Jesus, when you spoke to Nathanael in the book of John, you actually fed his longing. You actually fed his desire. You actually told him, you haven't seen nothing. Like, you think this is amazing. You haven't seen nothing. There's so much more. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us that have got desires in our heart and longings that we've been let down by. I pray that you would show us, Lord, that you put desire in our heart in order to lead us to you. And I pray that you would give us the boldness to respond to you today. And maybe with one of these tangible ways that we would take a step and say, I'm going to put a log on the fire. I'm going to read and listen each day. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to go off and spend alone time with God. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the boldness to respond. Lord, I know that in you the best is yet to come. And Lord, it's incredibly exciting to think about what you want to do. And I pray that you would wake each of us up to that reality, Lord, and that we would be a people who pursue you wholeheartedly. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.